Now, the way that you can receive it is to think that what I said was from God. So you have to check it out. Test every spirit to see whether they be of God. Check it out in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, then it's true. The problem in our day is authority. The problem in child raising is breaking the will. Unless you break the will of a child, unless you break that will, you cannot teach. You cannot teach a child whose will is not broken. If they're a willful child, you cannot teach them and instruct them. Oh, you can fill their head with head knowledge, but you cannot instruct them or teach them until they're broken. So, raise up your children, fathers. Raise up your children, fathers. Raise up your children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. 1, 2. Unless they have the fear, you can't admonish them. You can't tell them what to do. You can't exercise any authority over them because they have no fear. The American people today have no fear. The politicians whom they elect are their servants. But the politicians whom they elect are actually not their servants. That's the people deceiving themselves that the politicians aren't demagogues who simply pander demagogically to the people's emotional wishes. And therefore they have public opinion, and therefore they get elected. Was not the way the founders set up the country. The problem is today in child raising, same problem. There's no authority. There's no law. We are a lawless nation, and we are lawless families in lawless churches. We have forgotten the law. Without the law, you cannot instruct. Without instruction, you will not raise up wise and virtuous children. Your children should be wise as what? Serpents. They should be that wise. They should know everything about serpents. Wise as serpents. Wily. Supple. Subtle. In other words, they should be able to distinguish right from wrong. In other words, they should fear God. Without the fear of God, that's the problem of our country. That's the problem of our churches, the problem of our families, and it's the problem of us. We don't fear God. Remember in the Old Testament, they would say, the fear of God is not in this place. Well, there's no fear of God on the earth today. Ichabod, the glory of God has departed because there's no fear of God. Now, I can go over that 100,000 times to set the foundation for what this scripture is saying. The problem in child raising is breaking the will. If you don't love the child, you can't break his will. The child's will not be broken by someone that hates him. The child will look to see if the parent loves them, and if the parent loves them and then indulges them, then the parent hates the child. So, a child who has a parent who's anarchic, lawless, will just indulge the child to win his popular affection. And of course, the child will eat ice cream rather than spinach. The child will want to play rather than make his bed. And so, if you raise children in that manner, which is exactly how they raise them today, put them in front of the TV set, give them a cookie. And if you want to raise children that way, we did not raise our children that way. We would not let our children watch television. You could watch one program a week and no commercials. And so our children were compelled to get up and turn off the TV. Now that's called discipline. Did you see what I just said? It isn't whether the program was a good one. I think it was a good one. But it isn't that. It's that we were disciplining our children to have to see the treasure, the value of watching that one program and then turning off the commercials. So I trained them to fear me. I wanted my children to fear me because I love them. The father that loves his child chastens him. The father that loves his child chastens him. A chastening is a rod. You take a stick. We had a stick. We wrote wisdom on the stick because wisdom comes from stick. Wisdom, if you don't have one of those sticks, they're going to grow up spoiled. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. So I didn't have to use it a lot. 12 times, I say, at the most. I doubt that I spanked them more than that. But my spankings were effective. They were chosen very carefully. Peggy might have spanked them 50 times, I don't know. But for me, I only spanked them when it was an all-out war and I had to win. And the only thing I was spanking them for was not misbehaving. The only thing I was spanking them for was to teach them the fear of the Lord. I wanted to teach them the fear of the Lord. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying, because the church, our church, does not fear God, nor do they honor the office of the pastor. Now, I'm not trying to talk anybody into anything. I'm making a statement of fact. I've always known that. I know that, and there's no problem with me at all. But I'm telling you, you'll never grow until you learn to submit to authority. Blessed are the meek. What are the meek? The meek are those that submit to authority. If the commander says shoot, you shoot. If he says do not shoot, you do not shoot. The enemy is advancing on you, and he says wait until you see the whites of their eyes. And if you don't pull the trigger, but he's coming right on you, he's almost right next to you. But the commander says, wait, 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 not yet, not yet. And if you're meek, that means you're under authority, you won't shoot until he says to shoot. You'll have to trust then that commander. Or if he says shoot and you can't, you're not meek. You're under no authority. You have no law. So the first thing to do in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, whatever, the first thing they do is break your will. You'll get up when I say get up. You'll eat what I say eat. You'll polish your shoes the way I say. You'll do this. You'll do that. And they break you until you know who the enemy is and you know who your commander is and you obey authority. First thing they do. They must break the will of that young drug addict. They must break the will of that person who's been, spoiled up until then. Now you have to polish your shoes in a certain way, and they will make you do 50 push-ups and so on and so forth until your will is broken. They're not really trying to get you into shape physically. That's only a side benefit. What they're trying to do is break your will so that you obey. Go now. And they don't want you to say, well, sir, I think. They don't want to hear your opinions. They don't want to hear your ideas. When they give a command, they want to follow it. Now, that's worldly. Also true in the spiritual. If you hear a word from the Holy Spirit and you don't obey it, there are consequences. So, children, obey your parents. Why? Because there's a promise tied to that. Did you know that if you obey the promise, if you obey the command of your parent, you'll get a promise. You'll live long. A child that is obedient to his parent lives long. Powerful. But if the adult is not under authority, how can the child be under the adult? Our problem today is we haven't made any disciples. We make no disciples, or we make very few. But that's all right. I'll be satisfied with one. I would be satisfied with one. Good. Praise God. Because that's how you grow. I grew that way myself. It doesn't matter whether the person over me is perfect or not. The God who put him in the office is perfect. Therefore, I obey not the person in the office, but the office which God set up. The policeman may be my neighbor, may throw beer cans over the fence, and I don't like him. But when he puts on that uniform, he's in an office that I respect. Did you hear what I just said? So, teaching a child that the office of parent is a God thing. The parent may be bad. The parent may not be a perfect parent. No parents are. But the office that God set up from the foundation of the world are set there for your good, for your benefit. Therefore, God tells children. He doesn't tell the parent. He doesn't tell the parent. He tells the child, obey your parents. You notice that's directed to the child. This is God speaking to the child. Obey your parents. It doesn't say to the husband, tell your wife to obey. He says to the wife, obey your husband. Now, if Tommy isn't submitted to God, you cannot submit to a man that's not submitted to God, but you can submit to the office. In other words, when he speaks in line with God, then you can obey. Can't obey when he speaks in his own voice, in his own authority, in his own power. That's lawlessness. Does that make sense? So what does that do? That gives you the freedom, the liberty, not to obey as well as to obey. And you have the choice. God does not put tyranny in the husband over the wife, nor in the pastor over the people, nor in the parent over the child. A parent does not have absolute godlike rights. A parent is acting in the name of God over the child. But if you act in the name, then you must act in the name. Can't act in your own name. So many times a parent will actually do something that is not of God, and you must then ask your children to forgive you. Now, if you're not lawful, if you're lawless, you're not going to do it. I many times got down on my knees after I had done something wrong, and I knew it. And I said to the child, please forgive me. Daddy was wrong. I didn't do what Jesus told him to say or to do. And the children will forgive you. Because the children want to love you. They want to respect you. They want you to be an authority. They do not want to run their own lives. You may think they do. Well, he didn't do what I said. Well, if you love your child, you not only instruct them, but you also discipline them. And children actually want to obey their parents. Even if their parents do wrong, they don't know what to do. It confuses them. They want the parent to be right, but often people in authority will abuse you. So often that it's almost commonplace. Most women that I know do not trust men. Why? Because they've been abused by men, starting with their own fathers, their own uncles, their own, you know, people that were close to them, through their own pastors, through all kinds of people that they at once trusted, boyfriends, girlfriends, you know, whatever. We learn not to trust people, but God never said trust people. He always said, put not your trust in princes, in rulers. Put not your trust in man, but put your trust in the Lord. So you're not to trust. So we're not taking away anyone's liberty. But I am going to tell you something. Unless you learn to submit to God's authority, God's government, not man's, not man's, God's. There is God's authority in the husband. There is God's authority in the pastor. There's God's authority in the government. There's God's authority in the policeman. There's God's authority in the president, and so on. But if it's not God's authority, you are not bound to do it. You are only bound to submit to God's office, not to man in his person. That is abuse or tyranny or oppression. So when Pharaoh told the children of Israel, you cannot go out and worship your God, they didn't overthrow Pharaoh, God did. He said, Moses told Pharaoh, God has told us to go out into the wilderness for 3 days to worship him. No. Get to work. In fact, you're trying to get a few days off, I'll make you even work harder. Well, you Egyptians are making us work hard, make all these bricks. We got pyramids to build. Get going. So God said, See, it's one thing that you're making the people work hard. It's another thing that I told them to go and worship me. So God undertook that, and God delivered them. The Exodus was not man leaving. It was God leading them out from tyranny and oppression. God will lead you out when someone's oppressing you. Do you understand that? But many times it's your own fault. Many times it's your own fault. Many times you're in a relationship that's abusive and you help to cause it. You picked that person in the first place and never did say to that person who is abusing you, you know what, it's my own fault because I chose you. Now, I'm not talking about children. I'm talking about adults. I'm not talking about someone deceiving someone like children. Children can be deceived. So how do you raise children under the fear and discipline and instruction of the Lord? Now, what did I teach you so far? You cannot teach a child who's not first broken. Staff follows rod. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me. It doesn't say my husband is my shepherd. It doesn't say my pastor is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He, and so on and so forth, so on, so on. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, the rod is the discipline that you need to teach you the fear of the Lord. The staff is the instruction that follows when you're listening. I taught my children how to go to school. I bought a little chair, just exactly like they had in school. Sat them down in the little chair before they went to first grade. And I put pencils on the top and books underneath. And I told them how to hold their hands and how to sit and how to fold their hands. You know, they were just like this. You know, whatever I showed them, they did it. And then I was the teacher. And I pretended like I was the teacher. And I told them, always sit like that. Always put your pencil like that. Always put your books under like that. And always watch the teacher. And then I'd move back and forth. You see? No, no, follow me. Don't look at anything else. Follow me. And so they learned to obey. You see that? I broke their will first. Otherwise, you send the child off to school and he's just been watching TV and eating Coke, sugars and whatnot. That child's not going to learn anything in school. All they're going to do is fool around and goof around with the other kids. But I broke my children from the beginning. And when they went to school, they knew how to behave. Then I put them through the test. I said, okay, Daddy will be your teacher now. And I stood over them on their little desk, and they're just, you know, first grade. They're just looking up at me, and they're following me around wherever I go. And I'm teaching them. I'm walking back and forth, and they're following me. I said, never take your eyes off the teacher. At all times, keep your eye on the teacher. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. This is how to instruct children, is teach them how to look, how to listen, how to obey. So then I said, okay, now Mama, my wife, Peggy, she's going to distract you, and don't listen to her because she's not your teacher. She's another student, and she's going to try to tickle you or, you know, make you look over at her. Don't do it. Okay, Peg? And so Peg would, you know, pull on their hair or whatever and try to distract them like children will do. How many know that in school children will do that? They'll poke one another and pull their hair and, you know, whisper and so on. So Mom tried to distract them while I'm the teacher, and they're walking back and forth, and they kept looking over at Mom because they're used to following Mom, right? And so when Mom did that, Carl, look over here. They would look. I don't, no, no, no. You look at the teacher. I'm the teacher right now. And so they were playing this game with me of obey the teacher and do not listen to anybody else but that teacher. So when my kids went to school, they did well. Why? Because I broke them first. Before they went to school, they knew how to obey, what to do. I didn't care if they got good grades. I didn't care if the other kids liked them. I didn't care about the teacher was any good. I just was teaching them how to be obedient, to submit to authority. You see, in the classroom, the children don't decide what to learn and when to learn and how to learn it. There's authority in that teacher. The children don't all raise their hand and have majority rule. Let's all play today. How many know if the teacher asked them, okay, would your children like to play or read today? Play. So you don't want the children deciding. You'll never teach anything to children because they'll go for play every time. Would you like to have a 10-minute break right now? Yes. Would everyone, you know, and if you ask children what to do, children don't know what they want. They don't know what's good for them. Nor does the church. Now, God has not made me in an office here just to talk and yak and tell interesting stories. He actually gave me authority to teach you things that you cannot learn on your own. Can't learn them. You say, well, yes, I can, Pastor. I could learn all on my own. Okay, try it. I know what the Bible says. It says that God gave gifts to the church, Ephesians 4:12, because you cannot be perfected without the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors who are indeed teachers. So that's what God says. So I believe you cannot learn without submission to the pastor. I also believe that people do not submit to what I say. I know that. It doesn't trouble me. I'm not troubled. I'm not teaching this to be troubled or to complain. I'm submitted to God whether you are or not. That's your choice. Now, some people are, and those that are grow, and those that aren't don't. For example, if I would say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. I quoted that out of the Bible. If I would say that, that comes forth with authority, because I would say, God told me to tell you, rejoice in the Lord always. Never complain. Never gripe. Never give your opinion. Just rejoice in the Lord always. Well, Pastor, what if somebody's sick? People are going to always ask questions because that's what's in their mind. But I teach this. I don't care what's in your mind. Just listen and do it. We'll talk later. We'll talk on another day. You don't need to know what I meant. Just do it. You heard me say it. Do it. And people will not do it. I can just tell you right now, people will not do it. Okay, just, Pastor, all these problems have been happening to me, and I'm not sure what to do. I know what you should do. Oh, good. What? Rejoice always. Oh. And they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it because they believe they know more than the pastor. They know that I didn't speak from God. I just gave my own opinion. What I said had authority. I have no right to give any other word except what the Holy Spirit is speaking. I don't have any authority to give my own opinion. I never give my own opinion. If I do, it's from the devil. Don't do it. And I give you the authority, the power, to reject some of the things I say. But what you must do then is come to me and say, Pastor, what you just said to do, I'm not going to do it because I don't think that was from the Holy Spirit. That's okay. That's good. I'm okay with that. But then I have a word to say. You remember when Moses told the children to do something and Aaron and his sister Miriam said something else? Do you remember that? Kind of like they even said to them these words. Well, you're not the only holy one. Remember they said that? They were rebelling against Moses. And Moses said, look, I'll tell you something, Miriam. So you're my older sister. And Aaron, you're my older brother. God didn't appoint you. He appointed me. Aaron, you're going to be the priest, but I'm the lawgiver. I heard God. You didn't. He didn't call you. He called me. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. Miriam, put your hand inside your dress. She did. Leprosy. And Miriam said, oh, my gosh. I think you're right. And so he said, so she said, pray for me. He prayed for her. She took her hand out. No leprosy. That is how God backs up authority. I was telling him, Mark, there's no authority today in the church, in the home, in the government, in anywhere. None. The only place that they force it is in the military. But it's forced. But that's good. That does not hurt young men. That does not hurt young women. Though I don't think women should be in the military, but forget that. I mean, that's because we live in a lawless society. Today we want the women to be equal to the men. That's a nonsense thing that someone came up with. It's not in the Bible. There's a difference between male and female. Women should be treated with respect. That's why they're disrespected today, because we are not following God's will, God's rules. Women are equal in dignity, yes, but they're not equal in government, no. Did you just hear what I said? Now, am I popular? No. Do I have any authority? No. But from God? Yes. And it will cost you your life. Because if you want to go and defy what I just said, which I got out of the Word of God, if you want to defy it, then you travel at your own risk. But you couldn't call me as your pastor. Because when you have a pastor, you want to submit to what he says because he's telling you the truth to set you free. But I don't know, Mark, about you, but I don't have any authority. And I know that. And I was just telling the people that. It doesn't bother me. But unless somebody, you have to get this directly from God. You can't get this from me. Unless somebody on your own hears God say to you, submit to that word because it's the truth, you won't grow. You can't be perfected. The Bible says that without those four gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, who is indeed a teacher, if you don't use those four gifts, you cannot be perfected. That's what the Bible says. You say, but I think a lot of the pastors, they're no good. Okay, that may be true. I'm not even arguing about that. I'm just simply saying, then go and find one that is. Hunt until you find one. Because here's the issue. The issue is not whether the pastor you're submitted to shouldn't be. That's not the issue. The issue is go find one you can. Because God is saying you're not going to grow without that. Children will not grow if they have no parent. Or if it's just some, someone who just picked them up and they don't really care for that child, they'll abuse them. A lot of people that are guardians over children are actually monsters. A lot of parents who ought to be good over their children are actually not instructing them, and they're not blessing them or benefiting them. That kind of child abuse goes on a lot. Children that sit in front of a TV with a cookie in their mouth are being abused. Children that are always watching television and playing video games are being abused rather than go do your chores, rather than, go outside and paint the fence or whatever it is. An undisciplined, chubby generation. Because no one is disciplining people with authority because no one loves them. If you love your children, and I did, if you love your children, and they are all loved and they're all blessed, if you love your children, you teach them with the rod. Spare the rod and spoil the child. I didn't spoil my kids. I taught them the law. And when they didn't obey the law, I spanked them. So my children learned, and you know what? They're not mad at me. In fact, all my kids today, if you ask them, did you like it when your dad disciplined you and spanked you? No. But I'm glad he did. See, they'll say now, I see now that my friends who could do whatever they wanted ended up sleeping with all the boys, messing around, getting drunk all the time, and so on, because they had no discipline. Their parents didn't love them enough to stop them. They either gave them everything they wanted, or they totally neglected them by being too busy to do something else. But we cared about our children, and I'll tell you something, when you discipline people, it takes a lot of care. When you're responsible for people. Now, I do not believe in the government that we have today because I believe it's a popular government, meaning it's mob rule. It's a democracy. Everybody gets to vote. Everybody, why should everyone vote? They don't even know what they're voting for. Did you know that the average voter takes 3 seconds when they look at that name? Bob Schmadel. I don't like that name, so they don't vote for him. Or Joe Smith. Sounds like a nice name. Boom. That's how much depth is in the American public when they're voting. This is not going to bring a republic of laws. It's going to be a republic of public opinion where the ambitious, treacherous, demagogic person who knows how to please the people and say what they want to hear, only to get elected to then completely undermine and destroy the republic. Take away all their liberties, all their freedoms, and eat up everything of value to those people. Yet they voted for them. Do I blame the people? Not at all. The people are ignorant. They don't know. Without a vision, my people perish. For lack of knowledge, they are destroyed. America today is destroyed because it has no knowledge. The party of the Democratic is no different than the party of the Republican. Republican, Democratic, it's all the same. They're all demagoguing. They're all using all kinds of tricks and so on. People are easily tricked. They're easily bribed. Tell them what they want to hear, and you get elected, then do what you want. As soon as you get elected, you go and do your own thing. That's what the people want because that's what they have. That's because they have not been instructed. They can't take any pain. Oh, they're going to take away my welfare check. Oh, they're going to take away my, I depend on that. Okay, you're slaves. You are slaves of someone else giving you something from somebody else that you didn't earn. Well, I have a right to it. Okay, that's the way you have it in a mob rule democracy, not the founding fathers. They set up a different kind of government. They set it up that only a very few handful of people voted. The rest did not. You say, well, no, I want to be able to vote. What for? You don't know anything. Well, I have my opinion. What's your opinion? What's it have to do with a constitution? A constitution is not interested in your opinion. It tells you that religion should be separated from the state. But you have people today voting, oh yeah, let's have faith-based initiatives and the government funding this and so on and so forth, and they're taking over the churches. You'll have no government and you'll have no churches. This church is not free. There's no church in town that's free. You must do exactly what the government tells you to do. It's a government church. If it's a government church, an established church. If it's established by law, then it's completely controlled by man. That means it's a man-made church. That means it's a whore, and that means it's not God's church. God's church is a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But we have lost all sanity today because we're trusting in people who are easily deceived. Do you know how easily you are deceived? You're deceived into eating wrong things. You're deceived into living in wrong ways. You're deceived into buying those televisions that have all that trash on it that breaks down your will, does not lift up Jesus. You're deceived by a million gazillion things, and you love it. You're a slave, and you're getting more and more enslaved as the day goes by, and you have no idea what's wrong. You don't even know what's wrong, and you wouldn't know what to do if you had it. I'm teaching you the truth. The truth will set you free. Break your children's will. First thing to do, forget the government, forget economy, forget all those big things. Let's start with something small, your little child. You love your child, discipline them in the fear and discipline of the Lord. If you love them, then you will spank them. And if you spank them, then you can instruct them. And if you instruct them, they will be meek and they will obey when you tell them the truth. Now, the problem, I drew this morning, the problem of number six on the board behind me is that though you're loved as a little child from age 0 to age 1 and a half, no chores. How many know that children who are just 1 or 1 and a half don't have any chores? They just either laying there in a crib or they're just beginning to walk and talk and they have no chores. The minute they're able to walk and talk, they better learn this word though. No. Hank, what are you doing? They better learn that. You better teach them discipline. If you love them, you don't just let them go into the kitchen cabinet and drink poison. If you love them, you don't just let them go out in the yard and run out into the street and get run over. If you love them, you give them the word no, and you follow it up with a spanking. And when you go into a store, you don't let your child start screaming and yelling. You don't let them just start knocking pans down. And, you know, there's little, the kids will love it. They just see something and just knock it all down. Have you ever noticed that? Little kids will do that. They're just in their little cart there and they'll just knock it all down. Or if you let them go, you know, they're pulling on you. They're pulling on you. Mommy, let me go. No, you stay right here with me. And then in a minute, you let them go. You know what's going to happen to that little child? In 2 seconds, they're going to be lost. Where am I? And they'll start screaming right there in the middle of Kmart or wherever they are. You've got to learn to have authority through your word. You're not going to publicly spank them, but you're going to publicly speak to them. But what if they're rebellious children because you never broke their will? Stop! You tell your child to stop, they need to stop. And you should be able to say it like this. Stop. They don't have to yell. I taught my children that when I call you, you do not say what. David, what? I don't want to hear what. When I call you and I say David in my normal voice, you come from your bedroom, stand in the doorway at attention. Yes, sir? Ah, that's a father. That's a father. And if they don't do that, if they don't do it, it's my fault. So I taught them, David, when I call you, you don't stay playing back there in your room. When I call, immediately you jump up because I'm your Lord. I'm your master. I'm your teacher. I'm the one who instructs you. So when I say, David, you come right like that. And you don't slouch in the door. What is it, Dad? No, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. I want it like this. Yes, sir. See that? And we went over that game several times until I got it down. Just like I taught him to go to school, so I taught him at home. When your mother says something, you don't go like this. And if I see you doing that, I will spank you just like that. Now you see how disciplined I taught my children? You might not have been raised in my home. You maybe you're happy you weren't raised in my home. But I'll tell you something, that produces happiness. The way I raised my kids is to have 4 happy children, 9 happy grandchildren. Why? Because I disciplined them. Because I love them enough to discipline them so I can instruct them so they can have a happy and abundant life. And my kids today are all thankful and grateful. Dad, I'm so glad you taught us that. Mom and Dad, you are strict, but we needed that. Because the world is offering them all kinds of things that are not good for them. We didn't let just children come over. We didn't just say, yeah, I have a bunch of kids come over. No, we said one child at a time. So when the children came over, if you argue with that one child, they're going to go. So you're not going to argue with that one child. You see that? But if you invited 2 children over, I'll tell you what will happen. 2 of them will gang up on the third. Happens every time. They're going to be playing, and all of a sudden, two of them are going to be, I wanted to play with the green doll. No, I did. And then the other one will turn to the other one. Which, what do you, th who do you think here is right? Well, I think Alice should play with it. Oh, man, you just have a war right there. It's not going to work. So when we invited a child over, we didn't let our child go to another family because they don't have disciplines and rules because they don't love their children. They spoil them or they're vicious to them. But in our family, we did it that way. And you know what? Our kids were always happy. They didn't have any arguments because if you had an argument, the child went home and they didn't want that. Dad, please, please, let them stay. No, you argued. Okay, we won't, I swear. Little kids are great. They just, Dad, please, please, Steve, don't let them go. Do you all see that? You're not understanding what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is powerful. It's not done any longer. Parents don't care. Why? Because they're lawless themselves. You're a lawless people, and you need to learn that when Jesus came along with the gospel, he did not destroy the law. Remember he said, don't think I came to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. How? Because even though you can't keep God's perfect law, you can learn to keep hypocritically human laws. But they don't get you into heaven. How many know if you stop at a stop sign, you don't go to heaven? If you come to the table, you don't go to heaven. So human laws you can keep because they're reasonable, they're rational. Hopefully they're good. Not all laws are good. A lot of laws that we have are not good. A lot of laws on the books are not good laws because they're not for the common good. They're for Motorola. They're for the mayor. They're for a handful of wealthy people. They're for, you know, whoever. But I'll tell you one thing, they're never for the good of the poor people. Even when they're for the poor people, they're not helping the poor people at all. You give poor people a nice house, pretty soon it'll be trashed up. Why? Because they're poor. And I don't care what you do, they don't have enough religion, or they don't have enough teaching, or they don't have enough discipline. That's one of the reasons they're poor. Are there people that are really victims? Sure there are, but they're rare. But the majority of people can work, and the majority of people can obey. The majority of people are not crippled and should be getting handouts. But that is our lawless government right now. Give me a handout so I don't have to work. And a lot of people have learned the system, and they just learn to take from the rich and give to the poor, only the rich don't lose at all because the rich have all kinds of ways of getting around those deals. So it's only the middle class that loses. So all you're really doing is making the rich richer and the middle class poorer so there's more poor people. That's why they say the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Because the thing that made this nation great was they were disciplined. And they obeyed the law because the law was not done by everybody. The church cannot be ruled as a democracy. The Baptist church, one of the weaknesses of the Baptist church, is the democracy. Majority rules. How many want the drinking fountain in the back? Okay, that's where we're going to put it. Well, that's not an important one. But there are other important issues that should be decided by that congregation and have nothing to do with the majority. Who cares about the majority? Who is the majority? You can't solve that. You see, you'll never find the majority ever, 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 ever in the Bible making any decisions. God does not trust minorities, single people, or majorities. He trusts himself only. Now, officers in the church, Mark, are not just anybody who wants to get up and fill in, you know, put a warm spot and, hey, we need a deacon to do this and so on. No, you have to pick people that are qualified. So in the church, you need qualified people. Many parents are not qualified to be parents. They're lawless. They were raised foolishly, and they raised their children foolishly. And I see parents abusing their kids all the time. I see other parents neglecting their kids all the time. So whether you abuse them or neglect them, it's bad. Sometimes I go into a store and I'll see some mother just slap that little child. Well, that's not the right way. I'll see other parents just not even paying attention to what the child's doing. The child's doing all kinds of stuff and they're not doing any attention. So what's the secret? I just told you the secret. The secret to the church is the same as the secret to child raising. So is this a teaching on child raising? Yes. Is it a teaching on the church? Yes, both. Could be a teaching on politics. It could be a teaching on anything. You see, because the same rules apply at all times. Only a handful of people are equipped to do whatever God wants done. Not everybody. to have a universal franchise, all men, all women, all boys, all girls, you can just keep changing that as though that's going to help. That's not helping anything. We're just, now we're all together doing stupid things. Whenever you get everybody to vote, it'll end up stupid. It's never going to be wise. When everybody votes, it's not going to be wise. That's why the founders did not have everybody vote. They picked representatives who went, who were to be wise and virtuous, who then made a constitution that prevented the majority from ever dominating the minority. Because one of the things they did was they said blacks aren't full people. Well, that's wrong. God never said that. That's evil. But that's one of the things they did, and they put that in the Constitution. That's in the Constitution. But the purpose of the Constitution, that's a dumb point. But most of the points in there are pretty good. To try to check and balance the people from harming themselves by their own folly. Do you understand what I'm saying? In communism, everybody's equal. But in the Republic, not everybody is equal in terms of office. They might be equal in terms of value. Children are just as equal as the parent, but the children shouldn't rule the family. Okay, watch this. God is the head of the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is not the head of the Father. Do you see that? They're not equal. It says the Father is the head of the Son, but the Son is not the head of the Father. Then it says Jesus is over every man. So Jesus is over every man. He's the head over every man. How many know he's the head of the body? But he's the head over every man. And every man is not the head over Jesus. If all the men in the world vote against Jesus, which they did, by the way, and they killed him, that doesn't make it right. Because the Father's over the Son, and the Son is over every man, and every man is over his wife. So the wife is not the head of the husband. The husband is not the head of Jesus, and Jesus is not the head of the Father. Can you see that? They're not equal. But today, we have a government that says everybody's equal. No, they're not. There are some people that are fools. There are other people that are evil, wicked, nasty. You don't want just anybody running the show. Many of our politicians are criminals. They're looking out for their own selves or for some special interest group here in town, maybe the developers. Because they get bribes from those developers, and they get paid off. Well, that's not good. How many know that's not for your good? When the developer wins, you lose. And that's why today you're doing all the stuff you're doing. It's not in the Constitution at all, because the Constitution was meant to protect you, but you gave it up because you were a fool. You were foolish because the pastors were not faithful. I blame the pastors for everything. I say the pastors did not fear God. Therefore, they have people who don't fear God. Therefore, they have a government that is lawless. Now, let's change that. We can change it tonight. Fathers, raise up your children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. You think maybe God knows something there? If we would follow that, I did follow. I gave you my examples. I give a lot more. But if you obey that, it works. It's wonderful. Would that I had that kind of authority in the church. Because I know that what I'm teaching is right here out of the Bible. You can go and read it yourself. You can check it out and say, Pastor, you know what? I found that verse that you said. It's right here. And if you do it, it'll work. For example, I'll give an example. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm just making one up. But I could have made up 50, 100, 500. But here's one. Let's just start with this one. Let's see how easy this one is. Rejoice in the Lord always. How many will do that? You'll always rejoice. Ah, already rebellious people. Okay, let's start with an easier one. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many will do that one? Oh, okay. Let's start with an easier one then. Wives, submit to your husbands. No. Okay, let me think of another one. You see, every command that God has given is to break your will. But you don't want it. And today, you see, there's no consequence to that. If people don't want it, there's nothing you can do. If people want to be rebellious, let them be rebellious. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You are going to face the consequences of your license, not liberty, because you only have a liberty to do what's right. And if someone tells you what's right and there are consequences, if you do it wrong, eternal as well as temporal, You will have to face the consequences of your own decisions. That's why America Day is in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble because we're facing the consequences of our own foolishness. We're not a disciplined people. I think America has more obese people than any other nation now, or something. But anyway, they have a ton of them. And there's little kids there in third grade or whatever. And they're already, so undisciplined. Some mother didn't care. And you look at the mother and you see why. But the point is, there is no reason for that. But there's no fear of God. There are no parents that love their children enough to say, don't eat that. They just give them, whatever they want. And our children were not allowed to eat a lot of candy or a lot of salt or a lot of sugar or a lot of fats. They just weren't allowed to do it. You had to eat what I had told you to eat. You see that? You see what authority I had? I told, because I love my children. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth. Don't eat that. So my kids could hardly wait till they grew up so they could eat what they wanted. boy, when I get big, they would say this to each other. When I get big, I'm going to eat a lot of candy. But you see, my children then fought over candy rather than other stuff. I mean, I'd understand what I just said, but that's okay. The candy isn't going to kill them. It's just it's not smart. But after a while, you eat a lot of candy, you're going to get sick. Your teeth are going to fall out too. All kinds of bad things are going to happen from too much sugar in your system. It's not good. You are not made, the human body is not made to take in too much sugar. A little bit you can take, a little bit is good. A little bit of fat is good, but the right kinds. There are some things that are no good and you have to get them out of your body. You need to be detoxified. So I raised my children spiritually, mentally, emotionally, dietarily, whatever. I raised them according to the will of God because I loved them. And if you love them, you tell them the truth, and then you spank them if they don't do it. Now, when they're 12, it's harder and harder to spank them. So I spanked them until they were 12. And then after that, very judiciously. And you know what? My kids did not fight me or struggle with me even when they were 16, because I did spank them later too, but only very rarely. As I said, I doubt I spanked any one of the children more than 10, 12 times. But regardless of that, you don't have to. When you spank the way I spanked, it's a spanking. It's a major deal. And I'm always going to win. I always won. Do you understand? If they would pull away from me or anything, which they never did, but had they done that, I would have spanked them again. So they knew Dad means it. And they love me for it today. Because sometimes people tell you things that are hard but are good for you. And if you make your own rules for your own life and you live lawlessly the way you want to live, you're not going to end up with long life. So what we've lost today is there's no authority anymore. Everybody just does his own thing. They do what they feel like doing. So there you have it. That's why 50% of the marriages don't work. My marriage is still working. We've been married 45 years. And why is it working? We've known each other for 50 years. And, that's a good thing. But there aren't a lot of marriages that are living that long anymore. There should be. But many marriages today end because they don't know how to live with each other. Why? Because they were never disciplined. Why? Because no one ever broke their will. Why? Because no one loved them enough to discipline them and break them. Hello? Y'all following this? Are y'all enjoying this? Because I am. I'm enjoying it. It's not whether you want to do it or not. I don't care what you do. That's between you and God. But what I'm telling you, as your pastor, with authority from God, break your children because you love them. And when you do, you can instruct them. If you instruct children that do not fear or do not have any respect for the teacher, those children will have a fat head, but they will not, in fact, find happiness or joy in life. So you can teach children that are not disciplined. And they can learn things, but they'll use them for their own pleasure. They'll use them for their own destruction. If you eat too much of a good thing, it won't be good. You have to eat the way God says to eat. You have to have a balanced diet. And there's a lot of things in our diet we don't all eat because we're buying it from Mrs. Baird. Mrs. Baird's bread is not good bread. It's made to last on the shelf for, 50 years. I'm exaggerating only to make a point. Any bread that can last that long, there's nothing good in it. It's been destroyed. So today you want a tomato? You're not getting a tomato. That is a tomato that can last for way too long before it rots. And that's because the commercial people who are selling will sell you a poorer tomato, a low quality tomato that has nothing to do with a tomato. That's not a real tomato. Because they grew it with a certain kind of seed and so on and so forth, and they destroyed that thing just for market. They would throw away a good tomato because they want that tomato to look like a tomato, but it only looks like it's not actually a good tomato. And the same with every product they have out there. So therefore, don't buy store-bought food because most of it is dangerous. It's not good. The flour is all bleached out and so on. Buy the hardier stuff. There's stuff that's rougher that you know, if you eat real bread, it only lasts one day. Within 24 hours, wheat has degenerated. So if you buy, when Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread," that means the way God made bread, it only lasts one day, 24 hours. As soon as you cook it, within 24 hours, all the nutrients are going to be gone. So then you may have that bread last for weeks and weeks and weeks, but it's no good anymore. Even if you put it in the refrigerator, I don't care. You cannot slow down the breakdown of that nutrition. God did it deliberately. So when you eat an orange, that's different than drinking an orange that's squeezed out, made into juice, and then kept on the shelf for months. It's already degenerated. You cannot stop that process. God is smarter than we are. But we think we're smart. We think we outsmarted God. Oh, we got orange juice that'll last for a month. Great. But it's not orange juice. The orange juice that was in that little orange when you ate it fresh was good. And that only lasts for so many weeks or so. It can't last forever. And there are some things like apples, if you keep them cool down in your cellar or something like this, they'll last for, you know, several months, but not gonna last forever. Sooner or later, it'll break down. And God did that deliberately. You have to eat it when it's ripe. In other words, you have to go and work. But no, we want to do it the easy way and pay somebody to charge us a lot of money for something that has no value. That's how foolish we are. Now, I'm only using a human illustration to say that's the condition of our spiritual life, is like that tomato, that apple, whatever it is. So today, now people are demanding again organic foods. Foods raised without a lot of chemicals or with no chemicals. And there's a big business now flourishing that young mothers who see their children with ADD and all kinds of other problems that came from all kinds of shots they put in them and all kinds of bad foods that they fed them. They want, hey, I want to have real foods. Because if I don't eat real foods, I'm not going to have real health. The water that you drink, you know, all this stuff, it's got all kinds of things in it that help to kill certain kinds of bad things, but also kill a lot of good things too. So then you have to have something that purifies that purified water. You know, all that chlorine that's in that water, that's not going to break down in your system. It's going to last for a long time. That has a residual in it, and it stays in your body for a long time. The fluoride that you put on your teeth, you know, good. It's good for a little while, but after a while, that's not good. So you're not outsmarting God when you go for all this super wonderful, miraculous science. It's actually only a trick and destroying your bodies. That's why people have cancers that they never had in the ancient world. That's why they got new sicknesses today. We didn't get rid of sickness. Have you noticed that sicknesses are not going away? Have you noticed the hospitals are bigger and more than they've ever had before, and people are not living longer and better? People that are 45 are dying off. I don't care how much health and how much track and all that stuff you do, you're not going to beat the system. How many know that God set it up? You only have so many years to live. I'm getting real close. I'm getting real close. You know, I'm 68, and you know, in a few years, 70. That's it. Then I got maybe 10 more, if by reason of strength. Then I'll be 80. But my mom lived to 86, so maybe I got a few more, and maybe a few more. So I'm eating granola. Yeah, I'm eating granola. I'm eating seeds. I'm eating, you know, greens, lots of greens. That's one of the reasons people get cancer. They don't have enough greens. There's all kinds of things out there. You know, you got to have collagen. You got to have, you know, omega-3. You got to have all this kind of stuff. But the truth is, I don't care about all that. The truth is that break your children's will. We're not a disciplined people. So we're not going to raise our children in a disciplined way if we're not disciplined. If you're a people pleaser, you're going to raise people pleaser children. I'm not a people pleaser. I don't care if people like me or don't like me. I don't care if people appreciate me or don't appreciate me. You see that? I don't want worship. I don't want people to respect me. You can despise me if you want. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. I told you the truth. And I didn't tell you the truth and then have signs and wonders so you'd believe it. I just told you the truth. Now, if this book is the only book to me that has authority to it. If this book doesn't alter and change your life, and I'm a living proof of this book is true. I live by this book. When it says rejoice always, you can ask my wife, I rejoice always. No matter what happens, I'm rejoicing. Now you say, well, you can't literally rejoice always. Well, I do. I do. Even in the middle of my dreams. Yahoo! You could wake me up. No, actually, if you wake me up, I'll go like that. You know, for a moment, I won't be happy. But I'm telling you, as soon as I get to my right mind, which take about 3 seconds, I'll be okay. I'm going to get up and praise the Lord. Like if somebody calls me at 3 in the morning, like that. But and we don't have the phone by the bed for this reason. It's way down in the kitchen. So you have to walk all the way down to the hall, into the den, and then into the kitchen. By the time I get there, I've talked to myself, Jim, this could be Jesus. Rejoice. Don't be mad. And I am. I'm still burning about somebody waking me up at 3 in the morning because I know it's not going to be a good call at 3 in the morning. I know it's a trouble. It's a problem. Somebody's going to swear at me from a bar. You know, it's not going to be fun, whatever it is. Hey, Pastor, I was just thinking, you know, that's not that. It's going to be something awful. So I've got to say, Lord Jesus, I'm so glad I'm up. And when I answer the phone like this. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm sorry to wake you. You liar. You know, sorry to wake you. They're not sorry to wake me. They did it deliberately, knowingly. But I say to them, hey, praise the Lord. I was just waiting for your call. I'm so glad you called. Let's pray. You know, I don't want to hear your silly story. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I want to tell you what Jesus has to say. You hear what I'm saying? That, I had to talk myself into that. But that's because I'm disciplined by God to do what he said, which is rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, no wicked thing is going to prevail. How many know that nothing wicked is going to prevail? Even there may be a bad news on there. I'm going to treat it joyfully. Because Jesus said, rejoice in the Lord always. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Jesus said, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Because of that, I build myself up so that by the time I get to the situation, being disciplined, the Lord can instruct me. So my spirit is quiet. It's not agitated. But if I didn't do that, I would want to choke that person, or I wouldn't answer it, or I'd yank the phone out of the wall. Because I have a natural temper. I don't know if anyone else has one of those. I got a natural temper, and if Jesus didn't discipline me, that temper would come out. And there's no telling what I would say or do. I can be vicious. Is there anyone like that? Not just my old nature. You don't see that. You don't see that because I'm broken by Jesus. Because he says, Jim, I want to break you. And that's the way everybody grows up, though, wild. If you just leave people to their own devices, they're not going to be godly. You have to be taught godliness. How many know you have to be taught that? Because if you just leave people to their own devices, they'll either let people run over them or they'll run over other people, or both. So half of the people in the world let everybody else run over them, and the other half run over them. So the whole world is made up of, you know, victims and culprits. Right? Which are you? Which are you? You see, you're all culprits. I thought I'd tell you that. Every one of you is a culprit. Even if you say you're a victim, you're actually a culprit. Because you should not be victimized by anybody, including Satan. Jesus is the only culprit. I mean, the only victim. He's the only one that's a victim. He's a victim. But you are always a culprit. But Jesus Christ has forgiven you, so therefore, you're now innocent. You're innocent because he loved you. Because of that, that should change your thinking, your way. So I want to learn from Jesus who loves me like that. I want to learn what his rules are. He isn't making me obey him. I want to obey him. And if he takes me through the fire, I want to go through the fire. A phone call at 3 in the morning is a fire. That's like, I do not want to answer that phone, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with joy because Jesus is teaching me, Jim, be like a shepherd. Those people are like sheep without a shepherd. Don't you dare give them what they deserve. You tell them what I would say. Did you hear me? That is gone today. Pastors no longer have authority. They don't speak with authority, and therefore the people know nothing. You leave your people completely vulnerable to Satan. So break the children, break their will. You're not breaking their spirit. 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 You're breaking their will. There's a difference. You're not reducing them so that they hate themselves. No, no, no. You're reducing them so that they hate their sin. They hate Satan. They hate lies. So my children don't hate themselves at all. If you meet my children, they don't hate themselves. But they hate sin. They hate what's wrong. They don't like injustice. They don't like things that are immoral. They don't like things that are idolatrous. Why? That's the way we taught them. They didn't just kind of grow up that way. We actually taught them that. We broke their will early on. Hey, take that shirt off. That's the way we did that. You see that? And if you don't do it, I'll spank you. But I don't want to hear any talk. I'll spank you for that. Just go do it. So that slows them down. How many know that you tell that to a child the first time, they won't do it? You tell them the second time, the third time, you spank them the fourth time, whatever. That's how they learn. I was very patient. I spanked them patiently. But I knew sooner or later they will learn not only to hear my voice, but they'll learn to heed my voice. Same in the church. Sooner or later, there will be an obedient church. But we're wearing people down, getting down smaller and smaller. And then pretty soon, you know what's going to happen? It's going to go the other way. Why? Because people will finally learn the truth and say, I want the truth. I don't want someone to itch my ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Why? Because you don't need that. People do not grow by hearing things that are pleasing to them. They need the truth that'll set them free. Amen? See, the thing you lack more than anything else is the truth. You need to know the truth. That'll set you free. Whether you do it or not, that's your choice. But you have to have the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the truth. That word is all about Jesus. That's why it's the truth. The reason why the word is truth is because it's talking about Jesus. Jesus said, you read the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they that bear witness of me. So everything in this Bible is talking about Jesus. Everything. Everything. The law is talking about him. The gospel is talking about him. The begats are talking about him. Everything that's in that Bible is talking about Jesus. So I hope you learned something tonight, and now you can see what the problem is in our church, because it's the same problem in child raising. We have children that are born, just like you're born again. We have children that are born, but we don't have children that are disciplined, sent through the fire, submitting to human authority that God has appointed. Human authority that God has appointed. So I would say to you, if you can't submit to what I'm saying, go where you can. I don't mind that you're not my sheep. I don't want to take care of someone that's not my sheep. But if you say, I believe you're speaking the truth, then the next thing you need to say is, he's not going to make me obey. He's going to invite me to come and be a disciple and not be immature any longer. Because if you stay immature, you're going to pay the consequences of staying forever a baby. It's not wrong to be a baby for about a year and a half or two. But it's wrong to stay a baby after that. Little children, young men, mature fathers. That's the sequence. And you're not going to get a mature mother or father unless you have young men and young women. And you're not going to have them if you want to stay a baby your whole life. So we have many people that are chronologically old, but they're still acting emotionally like little children. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So there are many people that are now 30, but they're still acting like they're 3. And all of us do that sometimes. But God wants to teach us a better way so that you'll be happy. I am the happiest person on the face of the earth. There's nobody happier than I am. However, there are some people that are equally happy. And they're the same ones that have studied this word, submitted to the authority of Jesus, and have let him become not the Savior, that's over a five, but the Lord, that's over a six, but the Beloved, that's number seven. I want you to know Jesus as your Beloved. The reason I serve him, seven, is because I went through six where I submitted to him, because I believed in five that he was my Savior that loved me. So his love drove me to suffering, and his suffering gave me glorification. Seven is the glory that comes after the suffering of six, which comes after the love of five. If you only have the love and then you never grow up, you won't enjoy the love. You see, if you keep your life, you're going to lose it. You want to lose your life in six so that you can then be disciplined to follow the Lord and be a blessing to others. That's what's wrong with the church. That's what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with politics, wrong with economics. It's wrong with society. It's what's wrong with everything. Start with your own children. You love your children. I know I don't have to talk you into loving your children. So discipline them. Here's how you do it. No. That's how you do it right there. That's love. Hey, you put that food back on your plate. You put that food back in your mouth. And little kids, that's how they learn. That was my first lesson to Cara. I remember the very first time I spanked her. I remember that clearly. She was playing with her food. She was chewing her food. And then just spitting it out. That means I've had enough. She was no longer starving, right? And she was just sitting there. And I said, stop that. My first command to her. No. She looked right at me. She wanted to know what I'm going to do. She was playing with her food on her little tray there, you know, pushing it around. You know how little kids love that. But that is fun for them. No, that's food to eat, not to play with. She didn't know a thing I was talking about, but she knew one thing. He was saying no, and it looked like he meant it. And I was the one that had loved her for a year and a half up to that point. You see, here's the one that loves her, who's always let her get away with anything she wanted, who's always hugged her and kissed her and thought she was cute as can be. When she started going like that, I knew she was playing with her food. Food you don't play with. She didn't know any better, but I'm going to teach her now. I will teach her the meaning of the word no. So I said, no. So she had her bowl right there. She had all her food right there. She dumped it right on the floor. Just dumped it right on the floor. But she didn't dump it by looking at it. She dumped it looking right at me while she dumped it. What are you going to do? She wanted to know what I was going to do with that word no. So I bent down, scooped it up, put it back in the bowl, set it on her plate, and I said, no. She listened to me, got a hold of that plate again, wasn't sure what to do. Put her hand inside the bowl, looking straight at me. Flicked it right into my face. Now it's all out war. You see that? She just defied me, right? So what am I going to do? So I took it off my face, put it back in the bowl. No! It was like that. Then all of a sudden, she thought about it. She wanted to find out how far we were going to go with this little game. Dipped it again. Tipped it again. Onto the floor it went. So, here's what I did that time. Slapped her hand. When I say no, I mean no. She looked at me. And she burst into tears. Now, she now knew the word no. That's all I was teaching her. I wasn't teaching her never do that again. I was teaching her to learn the word no. When I say no, then I follow it with one of these. And she knew, I don't want that sting. Because at first when I hit her, she didn't make a move. I don't know if Mama was there. I don't know if you remember. She was like, I can't believe you did that. You who have loved me all my life. You know, you turned on me. You're not letting me do what I want. And I know it stung, but she didn't even register the sting. She could feel it, but she was just like, "You dirty rat, you don't love me at all." But she never did that. She never did that again. Because the next time when I said no, she paid attention. You see that? I taught her that early on. It's all out war. If you do that, you don't have to do it for the rest of their lives. Do you see what I'm saying? You only have to do it a few times. When you say no, you mean it, and you're going to back it up. And they learn, when dad says no, it means no. And I would not tolerate the slightest rebellion. Now, many times I'd let things go because I didn't want to spank her all the time. But I saved up. And I waited, and I would say the no. And then if I felt she was at all defiant, then I would go through the same little scenario I did, and she right away got it. So I didn't have to spank her that many times in her life. Even to this day, she's still a precious child. And the other children learned from her. They saw the way Carl was obedient to dad. She would get up at 6 in the morning, very early, play the piano, play the flute, get all A's on her things, be the top in the spelling bee, whatever. She was an achiever. She was, volleyball, anything she did, mastered it. Awesome child. Very happy, very self-confident, and so on. But I'm going to tell you something, that spanking was powerful. And I thank God for spanking me, because I needed it. Because I'm too full of myself otherwise. How many know? Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. You've got to be disciplined by the Lord. He's not trying to hurt you. He's doing that for your good. He doesn't want you to run out in front of a truck and get killed. He doesn't want you to go outside the backyard so you go to somebody's house or whatever and get hurt. He wants to do that because every law is given to bless you. I never gave her a law to hurt her. I gave her laws to help her. And I'm teaching her, you don't do what you want to do, you do what I say. You don't wear what you want when you want, you wear what I want when I say. You don't give your opinion here. I don't want to hear it. That's powerful, isn't it? Because you'd have to trust that that person over you had God's best wishes for you. Are you hearing me? Now, we've been taught in the Western world, we've been taught, because we're no longer Roman Catholics, we've been taught that the individual can make up his own mind. Yes, with respect to other men, but no, with respect to God. One thing I like about Roman Catholics, they fear God and they take authority seriously. That's very powerful. Whereas Protestants talk too much. Protestants talk too much. Too much talk, too much thinking, too much nonsense. What a waste of time. Catholics, you don't have to do that. You can just tell them, this is the truth. And once they hear that truth and break with that tradition and go back to the truth of just the Bible, they're the best Christians. They make powerful Christians. You can teach them because they understand authority. Therefore, they easily understand truth. And once they get a hold of it, they're powerful. I'm just telling you, I've learned that from my own experience. Protestants talk too much and think too much. They're asking a million questions and a zillion questions rather than just obedient. Just do what the Bible says and don't worry about all those questions you have. Keep it to yourself. We talk way too much. Way too much. Well, what about this? 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 Man, have you ever known that a child can ask questions you cannot keep up with them? Why is this? How's that? How come this? Why is that? Who made God? It's just too many questions. They'll wear you out. See? So what you do is you just tell them the truth and you just tell, Daddy's talking right now, be quiet. And you want your children to be able to do that. Now, I see some of our young people in this church who have little kids. I see them saying that to their children. Their children run, Mommy, 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 and they're pulling on them, see? Because they're used to at home getting their mommy's attention anytime they want it, right? That's spoiled. So the parent tells them, Sweetheart, Mommy's talking right now. Come back later. I'm talking to Pastor right now, or whatever. That's powerful. And the child goes away. I mean, they were so insistent. Mommy, 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 I want to know if I can stay over at Janie's tonight, or whatever. Right now, I'm talking. You don't interrupt me when I'm talking. Now go play. Wow. Most parents don't have that kind of authority over their children. That's why we are lawless people, and that's why we are perishing. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? This is for your good. Discipline is good for you. I was a rebel. There's never been a rebel like myself except Tommy. But there's never been a rebel like I am. I always have been. I see Pastor Z back there too. Okay, we got three of us in this room. Tommy, were you born in Chicago? No. Anyway. He's from Texas. But I was a natural rebel, and I still would be. I could be. But because of Jesus, he has disciplined me, and I thank God for that. Thank God for that. I know what it's like to do my own thing. I also know how stupid that is now. I did it for years and years and years and years and years. I loved every minute of it. I never felt guilty about it. I saw how stupid it was, but I still liked it. But now I don't. I don't agree anymore. I say, break their will. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Six. He never would have been glorified if he hadn't been crucified. You've got to be crucified. Your children need to be crucified. What do I mean? Not physically, but I mean your flesh, your will. Stop saying what you want. Here's Jesus. Thy will be done. That's it. That's what makes a good child. That makes a happy child. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. So, I recommend that you learn to obey even the pastor when he speaks the truth. You can decide. But I recommend you submit to anything that pastor says. Why? As long as it's in agreement with the Word of God, as long as you see it yourself, you can ask the Holy Spirit, Spirit, is that true for me? Is that something for me? Don't just, I didn't like that idea. No, 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 no. That's willful. Just go, well, maybe what he said is true. I'm going to go home and pray about it. Good. I have no problem with that. I have no problem that you thought I was in the flesh, because I'm sure I'm in the flesh a lot of times. But here's what I'm saying. You're never going to grow until you say, I think sometimes Pastor Jim hears from God. Good. Good enough. Then just do it the sometimes. It'll still change your life. But you need to be broken. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors who are indeed teachers. Teacher means six. Pastor is for five. Lovers are seven. Little children, young men, mature fathers. Little girls, young girls, mature mothers. Same. So God is good.
All the time.